Certainly been good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Appreciate the Lord for allowing us to be back in his house. Good choir singing, good special singings. And we could be anywhere, but I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be than right here. And if you're saved and where you need to be with the Lord, you ought to be happy to be in God's house. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with us over to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter 2. Book of Philippians, chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 this morning. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're willing and able. I know if we're not able, the Lord understands that, certainly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I believe that be all that we read this morning. You may be seated. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning, thanking you, Lord, for your many blessings, Lord, allowing us, Lord, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, all those that profess to know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that's gathered in this building. Lord, our desire is, Lord, if there's one here today, Lord, it's not where they need to be with you. They've never made a profession of faith. Lord, they've never asked you to forgive them of their sins. This would be that good hour, Lord. They'd find a place, Lord, and bow down before you and call out on your name. Lord, us that's been saved, I'm thankful, Lord, we can go back and remember a day, Lord, when we bowed down and come before you humble. Realize, Lord, we as a sinner, Lord, that needed to be saved, that you is the only Savior. Lord, that could do anything about it. God, I pray, Lord, you take all these prayer requests today. Lord, so many, Lord, has been given to us. Lord, you know every one of them. Lord, death has hit two or three homes just mentioned in this morning's service. Others have been sick all week. God, we pray that you'd be with them, Susan and Vicky. God, we just pray, Lord, that you'd just take, Lord, this message this morning. Help us, Lord, to stir your people up. Help us all to be revived to do more for you than we've done in the past. Lord, I pray we'd find a place to pray. Lord, the patriarchs did. Lord, if there wasn't a place to pray, they made one. Lord, what we need in our country is more praying men, more praying women, more praying mamas and daddies. And I pray, God, Lord, that you'd just have your will and way. Lord, in the remainder of this service, help us, Lord, to be found doing that you'd be pleased with. Whatever's accomplished in this service, I pray. Lord, with your help, we'll never take the credit for anything that's accomplished in someone's life. Lord, for we know it's all done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. In the book of Philippians, we notice here that Paul is writing about humility. He's writing to the church in Philippi that we need to be humble. He starts off talking about being like-minded as Christ, to have the same love and be of one accord, of one mind, that all of us should have that same mind set in us to love other people, to be lowly of mind. Christ talked about in one place, he said, come all ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Bring a yoke upon me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. He was sort of saying, I'm humble. He come as the Son of glory. He come as the creator of the world, yet he humbled himself. And the reason he humbled himself, he wanted us to be humbled in ourselves. Amen. And to be Christ-like means we're going to have to get humble. Amen. He said, don't do things in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Again, we talk about lowliness of mind. It begins to think about what we're talking about in Sunday school a little bit. Not thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. Not to think we're better than our brother or sister in Christ. Not to think we're closer to the Lord than other people are. But that we would bring ourselves lowly and get down in a place to realize that we're all sinners that needed to be saved to get to glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'll tell you what, one thing will humble you this morning is to know that you didn't deserve to go to heaven. Thank God we had a Savior that loved us enough. The Bible said that he was obedient to that of his Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. I could stop there for a long time, but I just want to stop there just for a minute. Jesus never tried to lift his ministry up. Jesus never tried to coerce anybody to thinking that he was more than what he was. He come in this world as a baby and began to walk like God, talk like God, be like God would have wanted a human being to be, because he's God in the flesh, and he never made no reputation. His name was never really lifted up in this world. He didn't come to make a reputation. He came to make a difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of preachers today got a reputation, but they ain't making a difference. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be making a difference than have a reputation. I don't want people to say, boy, Jeff Clark, this Jeff Clark, that boy, Jeff Clark, Jeff Clark, Jeff Clark. But I want people to say, boy, when he preached, that people's lives was changed. I remember we went over there, my children's, their family got back together. I remember when so-and-so got saved. Boy, it used to make a difference when he was in a meeting. That's one thing about Brother Guy Foster. He didn't care. He had a reputation, Brother Matter. But more than that, people say, boy, when he come in the meeting, he made a difference. Amen. I believe everybody in here could think of somebody that was that way. They didn't have a reputation all over the country, if you'd have it, but everywhere they went, they made a difference. Amen. Don't worry about your reputation. If you're living for Jesus, you won't have one. You got a good reputation, you ain't doing much for Christ. I promise you, find all the men in the Bible, they wasn't being invited to parties, they'd been stoned to death. Now, I know we live in a different day, Brother Troy, but me and you've talked about it before. We'll get in here and preach gun barrel straight, Brother Randy and EJ. As far as I know, with only four preachers in the house, and boy, we'll preach it gun barrel straight. Everybody come by, boy, we really needed that. That was a good message. I enjoyed that. Nobody gets mad like I used to. And you know, it's a blessing for people to enjoy your message, but I want to have enough conviction and enough power. We're making a difference. I'd like for somebody to get mad every once in a while. Boy, people through the years, they said, boy, really got on our toes this morning. It ain't going to do nothing. We get on your toes, it needs to hit you hard, amen. That's what we're shooting for. And I thought about this morning. Seemed like I'm saying more above these verses than I thought I would, but I want to get down this part where it said,
and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, he wants us to be obedient. He wants us to testify when he tells us to testify. He wants us to sing when we need to sing. He wants us to go to the altar and pray when he draws us to an altar, whether it's to repent and to be saved, or us to just go thank the Lord for what he's done for us. And a lot of time our problem is, and you heard me say our problem, my problem, and your problem, is we're not an obedient people. Amen. We're just like the children of Israel, where we stray and wander and complain. When all God wants is for us to be obedient. Amen. You know, he was, he is obedient all the way to the cross. That's why his father wanted him to come, so that he could die for mine and your sins. Brother Matter, he is obedient to that. He is obedient to the driving of the nails in his hands and his feet. He is obedient to the Father when people begin to place a crown of thorns on his head. He didn't fight against it, Brother Nick, but he allowed it to happen. When a man pulled his sword out and he knew that he was going to stick him, when he began to reach towards it, he was obedient to not let them take his life, but to lay down his life. What the Bible said, freely he laid his life down for you and me. But I'll tell you something, it ought to be a net this morning to make us say, Lord, I love you this morning because you died for me. Amen. But even above that, the Bible said, wherefore God, talking about his Father, hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Jesus is not at the top of the list if you're going by alphabets. But I'm going to tell you something, that's why God called him the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He started this thing in the beginning in creation, and he's going to finish it one of these days. He started salvation's plan with a man, a body in Bethlehem, and he finished it at Golgotha. Amen. I'm glad that from A to Z, he's the beginning and the end. He's all the between. It's all about him. Nobody else, praise the Lord. His name has been exalted above every other name. Amen. Nobody's up there where he's at. Praise the Lord. You know, people say, well, if we lift him up, you ain't got to lift him up. His Father's done lifted him up. Praise the Lord. Woo. Ain't that good? Nobody can lift higher than the Father. Nobody could have given a better name than his Father. We don't need to exalt him. We just need to treat him like he is exalted. Amen. He's already been exalted. Has a name above every other name. When I've prayed, I've used a lot of names in my prayers. I've prayed for Mallory and Marty. I've prayed for Daryl, your mom and daddy. I've prayed for Patsy. I'm just picking out people. There ain't a person in this building I ain't prayed for at some point in time. I've used every name in this building, and then some. Sometimes when I'm praying, I say, Lord, remember Randy? And then I'll go back and I say, Randy Hall. And I say, well, Lord, you knew which Randy I was talking about. Amen. We don't have to get specific with God. There can be a million Randys. And all you got to do is say, Lord, remember Randy. He knows exactly which one you're talking about. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. You know it? And yet he exalted Jesus' name. Every time I say the name of Jesus, every time I say in Jesus' name, hey, something happens within me, and I don't feel when I say any other name. Amen. I don't know if y'all feel like I do. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's something about that name. I like that old song. It says there's something about that name. Well, those three old ladies, older ladies over there, used to sing that song. They'd sing, Jesus, real soft, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Listen to this. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Help me on this. Jesus. Jesus. All of heaven and earth proclaim. Listen to this. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Woo! Praise the Lord. Ain't there something about His name this morning? Everybody in here has been saved under the name of Jesus. Everybody's ever got right is because the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm here today because of the name of Jesus. And every time we raise a hand in praise, it's because of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where would we be without this man Jesus? Amen. Woo! I tell you, I don't know about you, but I would either be on my way to hell or I'd already be there. Amen. Jesus. But you know what He said? It's what I wanted to get to. He said that every tongue should confess. You know, a lot of times when we read that in another place, it says shall. But in this particular passage, when Paul was talking to the Philippians, I could almost hear Paul say, Brother Malley, y'all should be getting down on your knees and praying. Almost every time Paul wrote a letter, it's because he had heard about something going on. I can't help but hardly believe it, maybe. He had heard that the Philippians over at Philippi wasn't being humble. They wasn't thinking about one another. They wasn't getting down on their knees and praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Paul wrote them a letter to let them know that they should get down on their knees and praise the Lord. Amen. Said this a bunch of times here at Welcome Grove. I believe people should come to the altar and pray. Thank you for those 10 or 15. I said men and women should come and pray. You know, if we'll do that, our kids will do that. We want our kids to come and pray, but we won't set the example and come and pray. And he told them, he said, that we should. That we should bow our knees to the name of Jesus. Listen to this, he said, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Listen to this, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe that this morning, I want you to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. If we say that loud enough with enough power and start believing in the old devil, so he'll just get up and leave out of here. If you don't think he's in here, you've deceived yourself. He wants to mess up this meeting today. But I'm glad the name of Jesus is more powerful than Satan and all his demons. Praise the Lord. There's no power like the Son of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Woo. He said, and every tongue should confess. Let the redeemed Lord say so. He's Jesus. He's Savior. He's my King. Listen to this, He's my best friend. Some of you don't even know what it's like to have a best friend like that. I told a man the other day, I've been worried about Ryan a little bit. I don't mind telling him sometime. I said, man, I had all kinds of best friends, girlfriends. I said, I was always running somewhere. I said, I don't even know if I asked Ryan right now if he has a best friend. Amen. Not somebody you go fishing with, Brother Matt. Yet, and that'll come in time. He'll get to working where he ain't at the house. He'll meet people. They'll go off and they'll become good friends. I believe everybody ought to have a best friend if you'd have it. And even if you say a best friend, I'll say I got a best friend. You ready? Rob's my best friend. Daryl's my best friend. Alton's my best friend. Well, how can they be the best if another one's supposed to be the best? I got a bunch of them up on the top line. Amen. God's give me some good friends. Amen. If you got a good friend, you can't put one above another. Amen. I got a bunch of good friends here. But ain't nobody befriending me here like Jesus has. Nancy gave me a compliment the other Sunday, and I knew she meant it because she got choked up and got to crying about it. Amen. I knew she meant it anyway, but I felt the Holy Spirit just move Sunday school, and she said, one of your strongest attributes is you love everybody. You know, and I want, you know, to be Christ-like, we should love everybody, shouldn't we? But if you love enough people, he said, if you show yourself friendly, you'll have friends. I got a bunch of friends. Y'all have a bunch of friends. Thank God for smartphones. I used to have them little black books. That thing wouldn't hold them. I never put the address in there. I had a name on the address. Had a name on the, or the name where the name went, a name on the address, a name on the city. Amen. Had too many people. Right now I got almost, I think, 1,600 contacts in my phone. And I'd say at least half of them, I could pick a phone up right now and call them. And they'd come, why's that? And they'd befriend me and help me if I needed it. Amen. Ain't that good? I got a church I believe I can call any member and they'd come help me. You might not like my preaching like Brother Hubert's. You might not think I'm as good as old Charles Wills Banks. Amen. But I believe you love me and I love you. But you know what's so good about all this? Is God didn't want me to be Charles Wilbanks. He didn't want me to be Brother Hubert. He didn't want me to be Brother Cook. One day, one of the angels brought him a mold. He said, pull out that mold I had sitting back there, Jeff Clark. And he's going to be born down in Atlanta. His daddy was a farmer, but he's not going to know much about farming. But I'm going to raise this boy up to love me. Amen. And he formed me in there, Brother Darrell. And some of you, God thought enough of you. Morgan and Rachel, he made two of y'all at the same time. Amen. Tony and Sammy, amen. And twins, you know what I'm getting at. Brother EJ, and I've always thought that was special to have two or three or four. But I tell you something, it's pretty special when God only makes one of you, amen. I ain't never met nobody like me. I was looking in the book here a while back on the internet. You can find out a bunch of things about people. And I went out there and I was wanting to look up myself to see what was out there. You know, a lot of times I'll type a preacher's name in and a message will come up. I'll type up and some singers and they'll come up. And I thought, well, I wonder what's under Jeff Clark. I ain't never Googled myself. Amen. You'd be surprised. Some of you, I Googled myself and there was a bunch of us. I mean a bunch of us. I think it was 50 or 100 of us just in Georgia. And I thought, good night. We had a problem at one time. We went to the grocery store. Man remembers this. And they wouldn't let her write a check, would they, baby? She said, what's the problem? We've been shopping here all the time. She said, you gave us a bad check last time. She said, I ain't give you no bad check. We ain't never give y'all a bad check. Come find out there was another band of Clark right there in Villa Rica. Writing bad checks. And she is getting blamed for it. Ain't you glad God don't hold nothing our account that somebody else did? Praise the Lord. There's a bunch of Jeff Clarks, but he knows which one he saved. Amen. He knows which ones are sinning, which ones making mistakes. You know, they was some old Jeff Clarks. That got me encouraged, Sister Lisa. Some of them lived in the 70 and 80. Now I thought, praise the Lord, I got some chance. Some of the Jeff Clarks is making it into their old. Amen. Looked in there, there's some young Jeff Clarks. So a couple almost confused me. I seen one said 43 or 44, said Douglasville. I thought, well, that's probably me. And then I thought, well, I'm 45. Hold on. And then I thought, well, they got that wrong. I clicked on it. It wasn't me. That's somebody lived in the same town as me, only a year less than me. Same name as me. God made us different. Ain't that good? Now, I can say this morning. I hope this don't offend none of you. I'm glad I've met every one of you. I love every one of you. Y'all with me? That's a weak amen. But I'm glad God didn't make more than one of any of us. Whew. I don't think Amanda would want two of me. Amen. I don't think your wife would want two of you. Your husband wouldn't want two of you. I don't know why in the world Solomon wanted 700 wives and 300 concubines. I'm just going to leave that alone right there. Amen. No wonder he had so much wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. But thank be to God, he loves every one of us. Amen. Everybody that's ever been saved has been saved under the name of Jesus. Amen. If you didn't bow down and call out on Jesus' name, you're not saved. You're not saved. You can leave here and be mad and say, well, that preacher judged me. I know I was saved. I was praying with Paul, and I just don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. You still ain't saved. I don't care who you prayed with or where you prayed, if you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for your sins, you didn't confess your sins to him, then they ain't been washed away. All right. We're about done. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. I just want to read a couple verses here. And I want you to catch something a little different. We're talking about you should pray. And you should confess. And I believe you should. At some point in time, I believe everybody in this building ought to come to this altar at some times. There shouldn't a month go by where you don't come and pray. Now, if you say, Brother Jeff, I just can't get down on my knees like I used to could. And that's fine. I've never found any requirement in there that said if you don't get down on your knees, God won't answer your prayers. But I'd like to see you come sit down on the altar. Come up here in front of everybody. Well, what does that do, Brother Jeff? It'll humble you. Anybody can stay back there and hide. I want our kids to know that you think it's important enough to come up here and pray and come up here and get on the altar. Now, I tell you, some people might not know you're back there praying, but if you come up here and sit and you get you some tissue up here like this, before you know it, you're going to have a whole bunch of people up here with their hands on your knees praying with you. Wouldn't you rather have people praying with you? I would. Amen, Brother Jeff. I want everybody to pray with me. Keep preaching. Amen. I'll amen myself. I don't like praying by myself. I pray by myself in the car, at the house, in the woods. But when I go to the altar at church, I want to pray with somebody. I want somebody to help me bear my burdens. Amen. So I believe we should pray. I believe we should confess. But if you don't, there's going to come a day where you will. And that's what I'm fixing to read about. He said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Which is to say, reduce your brother to nothing, to think that we're better than him. He said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It don't matter if you believe that or not, you're going to be there. Listen to this. And it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. You know who wrote this down? Isaiah did, if you want to go check it out. Isaiah had already wrote this years before. That every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. All I'm going to say is I'm glad I'm just responsible for Jeff Clark. A lot of people like to get wrapped up in what everybody else is doing and not doing and everything. I'm going to tell you something. If you got time to do that, you're working better on yourself than I am. I ain't got time to call Mallory every night and ask him if he studied his Bible and prayed and is everything all right between him and the Lord. Amen. I love you, Brother Randy. We talk, but very rarely do I stop and say, Randy, did you study? Are you ready for your next sermon? Did you pray? Are you sure you where you need to be with the Lord? Did you mess up? Do you need me to come over there and pray with you so you'll get right? I'm working on Jeff Clark. And I don't know about some of y'all, but I think I got a lot more work doing myself than you do on you, so I'll just spend that time working on myself instead of spending it working on you. I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel like there's a lot that Jeff Clark needs to work on. When I look back at what I used to be, and I look at where I am, I know God's did some things in my life. I don't need nobody to agree with me. I don't need nobody to say, you're right, amen, whatever. I don't even need my wife to agree with me. I know where I was at, and I know where I'm at today. And I know what grace God has given me. I know how many times God's forgiven me. I know how many times I feel like I failed him, come short. I know every time I've gotten a pulpit and felt like I was flying around. I know every time I got in a pulpit, felt like I fell on my face like a fish out of water, flapping, waiting on somebody to help me. Amen. Now, ain't nobody tell me that I didn't do good. I like what that one preacher, he shared something the other day, and I really liked it, but he was talking about the other night at revival. He said he'd failed. He said he'd come home, and his mama said, you didn't fail. Baby, you didn't fail. They loved you so much, they wanted you to come back next year. Y'all missed that, didn't you? He said, you know what my daddy did? He said, my daddy pulled a butt on him. He said, you did fail because you didn't do your work. Get to your bedroom right now. He said, that was the difference in daddy and mama. Those times I remember that God's whipped me. You say, well, I've never got a whipping from God. You better make sure you're one of his. You just told on yourself. Amen. You might even be a mama and dad, so I just don't believe in whippings of time out. God ain't got to our generation yet then. God don't do time out. That's quiet, but it's still the truth. He says, spare not the rod and spoil the child. I don't believe in beating children, but I told the boys here the other day, I said, look, don't you lie about nothing. They fixed that to start going to counsel. I said, don't you lie about nothing. I said, one thing that Uncle Jeff wants you to always do is tell the truth. I said, even if, and I said, I don't think this is going to be the case, but I said, if he asks you a question and you answer it and it gets Uncle Jeff in trouble because of something, whatever, I said, I still want you to tell the truth. You let Uncle Jeff deal with whatever happens after that. You understand? And you know why I told him that? Because if I ask them, say, well, does he whip you? They're going to say, yeah, he does. Does it hurt? Yes, it does. I don't tap them. You know what? But when somebody asks me, you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, y'all told me to raise them like I raised my own. I tore mine up. Amen. And guess what? I got tore up. Guess what? I'm still in church. Guess what? So is both my kids. So it's my mama. She got tore up. She's still in church. So it's my grandma. I think there's some people across America that needs a good whipping. Amen. They might get in church. Now, you might not believe in whippings, but I do. Time out didn't help me. Restriction from a game didn't help me. Taking my keys away on my car didn't help me. I could still walk. Whipping got my attention. If whipping didn't get your attention, the person whipping wasn't doing a good job. Amen. I got some whippings that got my attention. I got some so bad, Brother Matt, I was begging they'd quit. Please, I won't do it no more. Running around. It's getting swatted every. As soon as I go get the hickory, I don't even have to do nothing to Zeke. And you might say, oh, he's too little to be getting a whipping. No, because by the time he's 4 and 5, I won't even have to do much. I'm pointing and say, don't be doing that. And he'll go. But you know one thing about it? People might say, well, you don't want them to get them so scared of you. Yeah, I do. I want them to fear that if they do something wrong, that there's going to be consequences. But I've never whipped my children or the children that I'm taking care of where they still wouldn't come in there and hug me and say, I love you and I love them. Because you know what? Even at the end of the day after I whip them, it won't take 5 minutes. They'll come in there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I love you. You know, I wish adults would do that. I ain't going to say much about that, but you can't even talk to nobody in a Baptist church anymore, and they won't talk to you anymore. You rode off. I'm looking for another church. I didn't even whip you. I mean, it would really be bad. Amen. And I don't believe a pastor should whip. Amen. I don't. Y'all think boys went off on some crazy tangent this morning. I tell you, some of us spiritually need to whip it. But it ain't my place. It's God's place. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'm any better than you. I don't need somebody to talk to me sometimes. I need them to pray for me. Brother D.B., I like that old song. I don't know if y'all have ever sang it. But it said, just tell my father on me. Something along that lines. It's pretty much saying, don't worry about me. Just tell my daddy. He can take care of his own. I tell you, God can keep me in line when nobody else can. He sure can. And I don't know why I got off on whippings this morning. But I'll tell you what, they work if you do it right. If you do it in love and you don't beat your children, one day they'll look back and they'll thank you for it. They'll turn out to be respectful children. And I've thought several times, this is why I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble, because I'm afraid a judge or somebody's going to ask me about whippings. I'm going to say, yeah, I'll whip them. And then if they say something, I'm going to say, well, look, I can bring my kids up here and I can show you how respectful they are. And they was whipped, and you see how respectful I am, and I was whipped. Bring your kids up here. Let's see how they look. If you don't believe in whippings, you probably didn't whip them, so let's see how they turned out. It's quiet, ain't it? I believe our country, you can look at what you want to, but you see the generation that we're in right now? Part of the problem is they started whipping children in school about 15, 20-something years ago. My children, the only reason they got a whipping, they went to private school, and the school didn't do it. Thomas, they called us up there to do it. They'd call me at work and say, so-and-so was misbehaving, I need you to come up here, he's going to get a paddling. And we had to go up to the school and get a paddling. And I always told my kids, I said, if I have to get in the car and come up there and whip you, I said, it ain't going to be as bad at the school as it is at the house, but then when you get to the house, you're going to get nothing, it is going to be bad. Because I didn't want them to think I'd done lost my cool up at the school, amen. And but you know, I didn't want to miss work, but I wanted my kids to know that I, and you ready? Listen, that I wanted them to respect their teachers like they do their mom and daddy. And I want them to respect the police officers like they do their mom and daddy. And when my kids, and I'm saying my kids, I'm talking about all six of them right now, when they come here, I want them to respect their Sunday school teacher. But if they don't, I want you to let me get on to them. You might not like it. If you want everybody in church getting on yours, that's fine. You let me get on mine, I'll let you get on yours. You know why I believe that? Because everybody gets on to their children differently. And if God would have thought that I need to be their daddy, he'd have made me their daddy and he'd let me get on to them. But he made you their daddy and you their mom. So he knows every one of us is different. He knows what it's going to take to get them where they need to be. Do you believe that? Y'all with me? I mean... People believe different on that, and that's fine. You ain't got to believe like me on that. But I just think sometimes people does different, and it don't work out. People gets hurt at one another because somebody would do the same thing they done with their kids, but that other person wouldn't have done that. And that's fine. That's fine. We all have different ways of disciplining our kids. All it boils down to, Brother Andy, and then I'm done. I want y'all to come get a verse of song, Brother Nick, is the reason we do it is respect. Do y'all believe that? That we're not doing it because we like... I ain't never liked giving my children a whipping. And if I thought there was another alternative, and I didn't know I was going to preach on this morning. I was preaching on getting down on your knees and bowing and confessing that we should be doing it. Not only should we be doing it, but one day we will do it. He said, you shall bow your knee and you shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I appreciate your attention this morning. If you're visiting here for the first time, I don't preach on whippings all the time. I didn't even know I was going to get on this morning, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're a respectful citizen of the United States, I'll just about guarantee you your mom and daddy or your grandmother tore you up every once in a while. Even if it's just once or twice. I'm not talking about all the time. They kept you in line. And now you look back on that and you appreciate it. I know I do. I never told my mom and dad I appreciate it when I was getting them. But Thomas, I do appreciate them now. When I look back and see how a lot of people that I know, how they was raised and how they wound up, I'm thankful that I had a mom and dad that loved me enough to get on to me. Not let me just do what I wanted to do. And I want to tell you something this morning. I want us to rise to our feet.